The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we can talk. We've got one caller waiting. We've got four open lines. And, I got several things going on, but I don't know. Anyway, no big deal. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Just jump on the line here. I hope we got somebody. It's kind of odd way it's written up there, so we'll tackle it in a sec. But look, why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's just jump on the line and get to Buskman from Ohio. Hey, Buskman, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Good to talk to you again.
Nice talking to you. So what do you got?
Hey, I've got a question, sir. We had an interesting husband and wife missionary team that come to our church this past Sunday, and the pastor brought them up on stage and said that we're going to support these two and introduce the couple to we, the congregants. And the interesting thing was, Matt, was their mission field was McAllen, Texas, right on the border.
I've been there.
Okay, yep. Okay. And I talked to them, Matt, for a little while after, because they were, you know, they were outside in the vestibule and all the congregants could meet them. And dear couple, and I basically come away saying to them, brother, sister, I'm just concerned. They claim that they're called down there, and this was their mission, to help. These were the words. We are going to be helping with the paperwork for these immigrants coming into Texas. And some of them, the man said, are from Ukraine, but most of them were from Uganda. And Matt, as a Christian first, but as a patriot second, I had to question our brother. I honestly believe that he is a brother in Christ, and his dear wife, sweet lady. I couldn't give my full thumbs up, and I thought, I'm going to call Matt Slick.
Man. That's a tough one, because you want to help them.
I know.
But
yes,
they're breaking the law, and our stupid government is encouraging it, and then Christians are essentially supporting law-breaking in order to help people.
That was my thought, Matt. That was my thought. And as a Christian, they did mention the words, and I'm sorry, brother, I can't remember the exact verbiage, but his words when he was on the stage introducing himself and their mission, their quote-unquote mission, he did say that we would be partnering with the government.
You know, my problem is that I am so disgusted with our government that I cannot separate my disgust with the mercy. And I'm serious, it's that intertwined. I think Biden is, if not the worst president ever. He needs to be brought up on charges. He needs to be impeached. I don't trust the Democratic Party. I believe it's evil. Seriously, I believe it's evil. It is a horrible party based on racism and lies. And they are flooding our country illegally. The government's actually doing this. Then flying illegals around the country. And I know why.
I mentioned that to the couple, Matt. I mentioned that very, as an Ohioan, we've seen it.
Yep.
Literally.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I mentioned that to the couple.
So, like I said, you know, I don't trust our government. And personally, I believe our country's going to fail. I'm a pessimist in this, a realist, actually. I think our country's going to implode. When we have people in control who undermine the Constitution, who make decrees by fiat without going through the proper channels, who break the laws, you know, this disgusts me, because we have such a great country and we have people in power who hate the Constitution and hate our country. And then they do this, and then the Christians get in and basically clean up their mess by helping people who come in illegally to do this. I don't know what to do. I mean, if I were there and someone needed water, I'm giving them water. I'm going to help them. But I'm not going to, you know, I would just as soon say, no, close the border, and you guys are on your own. You know, get back to where you came from. We can't take in everybody. It's like a house. How many people could you take into your house until it becomes overcrowded and doesn't work anymore? And it's like that.
Right.
But people say, oh, you don't care about it. Yes, I do. But we can't take in everybody. We can't. And with the leftist wacko morons who are up in office, who are socialists, I'm so disgusted. Biden needs to be impeached. And Kamala Harris is such an embarrassment on the world stage. You know, it's just, I don't know what to do. I can't even separate it. That's how disgusted I am with everything. So what do we do as Christians?
So,
that's a good one. I don't know.
So based on what he was saying, our church would be supporting him as missionary. He and his wife as missionaries. And when I think of traditional missionary, it's, you know, taking the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to all the parts of the world that may not know it yet, or establishing a good foundational church to where the locals can attend and get godly, as 2 Timothy teaches, to teach in the ways of godliness. But their ploy was that God's bringing the harvest to us, he said, something to that effect. And I questioned him.
Did you ask him what the gospel is?
No, I didn't, Matt. That's one that you sort of assume because they're in the church on the stage, introduced by the pastor, brother and sister so-and-so of so-and-so, and they're going down to McAllen, Texas. And I was just like, huh. And everything in me, Matt, says I need to talk to this brother and sister. So I did, and I ended up hogging up pretty much all the time. In fact, I apologized to the couple. I said, you may have had other people, because by the time I got done questioning them and and putting scenarios in front of them, pretty much the vestibule of our church was empty. You know, it was just us three standing there, kind of. And I felt bad. But one of the things I mentioned to him was, what about the law enforcement and the authorities? How are they receiving you to do this? Are they okay with it? And his response was that we have people that are, to my knowledge, he says, are in contact with the local authorities. I said, because Governor DeSantis has offered to send his own state patrol people and his own Floridians to help guard the border, to help the Border Patrol guard the bottom of Texas and so forth. And I said, what about the churches that these people in the countries that they're fleeing from? Shouldn't we just pray for those churches to meet the spiritual needs of these people that's coming in? And I hit him with a couple of things, and honestly, Matt, I got sort of, you know, just nice answers, you know, kind of churchianity, what I call churchianity answers, because we were just out of the sermon. We're in church, it's Sunday morning, everybody's nice, everybody's got their best face on. But I kind of cut through that, actually. And I just couldn't sit well, I guess. And I called another brother, my brother Mark, and asked his take on it. He goes, yeah, I just opened up that discussion at lunch with my friend. He has a car ministry that he helps with, and his friend fixes cars. And he says, that's exactly what we was talking about at lunch today. the very first thing. I says, okay. So, and his take was, I don't know either. I don't know how to call it, because we kind of concluded that, is this team going to be aiding and abetting permission of illegality?
I couldn't support them because I'm confused about it, and I'm not going to support something if I don't understand all the issues and have thought them through. But one of the things I would ask them is, what do they think of CRT? What do they think of Black Lives Matter? I would have just asked them, because it looks like it's a movement of the social gospel, which is increasing in the Christian churches, which is infiltrating
That's
seminaries.
That's what I'm concerned about, Matt. Yeah. Yeah,
it's infiltrated the Southern Baptist Church, and in fact, I'm going to stop recommending anybody go to the Baptist Church now, because of some recent information I've got. But it's bad. So I couldn't support him. You know, I certainly would help someone. You know, and I used to work at a hospital, registering patients, and I speak enough Spanish to do all that. And they would come in and they could tell they're illegals and they're just trying to survive. I don't blame them. But if we can, if the government itself is, this is what's really interesting, opening up the borders, letting the illegals come in, and it's so that they get socialist votes, so they keep themselves in power. In fact, when you're done here, I'm going to read stuff about the Democratic Party, which is, it's an evil party. It is. It's flat out evil. No Christian should be a Democrat. In fact, I don't think they should be a Republican either. But it is an evil party. I did research on it, and I'll give some information. But the thing is, you know, what do we do? I'm not going to, the other thing I was going to say is, well, now that suddenly the government is working with churches, and then, you know, if the church were to say, hey, we can't have this, separation of church and state, but when the church can be used to the benefit of the government, the leftist government, they're going to use it. So this is a
yes.
It's a problem. So I don't know. I'm not for breaking the law. I'm for legal immigration. Not illegal immigration. And if they're supporting illegal immigration, I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I won't support you if you're out there encouraging the people to break the law of our country. I'm not going to do that.
So, I brought up the Catholic Church that was allowing these refugees, if you will, if we can call them that, and funneling them into the country. I says, you know, that's going to draw even more if they see the church on the other side and they say, oh, go to the church people. Well, aren't we now becoming part of the aiding of illegality?
Right.
And he kind of responded in a very general way. I think I had him sort of pinned, like, I wasn't expecting this kind of communication when we came to the church. But Matt, I mean, I'm a watchman, and I'm for law and order, and I'm waiting for someone to say, well, Busman, with grace there is no law. You know, we're no longer under law, we're under grace. And I'm afraid that there's going to be Christians that's going to try to twist those scriptures that are totally not in context with what we're talking about to allowing
Could we get a break? I'm with you.
Sure.
Hey, there's problems. There are just lots of problems. It's a good one. But hey, we got to get going. Okay, buddy? So thanks for the call.
Hey,
I appreciate it, man. All right. Hey, folks, sorry about that. If you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. When we get back, I'm going to read you a history of Democrats and Republicans in this country, and you'll see which one is good or bad.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have five open lines. All right, so we all, as Christians, need to be aware of what's going on. And a lot of people think that there's a separation between church and state. That is not biblical. We, as Christians, are to be involved in the state, and we are not to let unbelievers rule, because when they do, they start passing laws in favor of homosexuality, abortion, teaching orientation issues to you know, to first, second, third graders, things like this. This is not what we want as Christians. Nevertheless, here's a bit of a history of the Democratic-Republican comparison parties in the United States. In 1830, Democratic President Andrew Jackson creates the Indian Removal Act that forced indigenous people to leave their homeland. It's called the Trail of Tears. So Democratic President Andrew Jackson did this. In 1857, in the case of Scott versus Sanford, the court ruled that slaves aren't citizens. They are property. The seven justices voting in favor were Democrats. The two who dissented were Republicans. In 1860, 11 slave states secede from the Union and Democrats start the Civil War. In 1863, Republican President Abraham Lincoln signs the Emancipation Proclamation into law. In 1865, Republicans pass the 13th Amendment that permanently outlaws slavery. In 1865, Confederate veterans founded the KKK to oppose the Republican Party's integration of blacks. Its first Grand Wizard was a Democrat named Nathan Bedford Forrest. In 1868, Republicans passed the 15th Amendment, giving blacks the right to vote. No Democrats supported it. In 1869, Reconstruction ended. Democrats reestablished white supremacy in the South with Jim Crow laws that legalized segregation. The Democrats did that. The Democrats in 1869. In 1872, Republicans elected the first African-American senators and representatives. In 1878, Republican Senator Aaron Sargent introduces the 19th Amendment to give women the right to vote. The Democrat-controlled Congress voted it out. In 1939, Democrats and KKK cover girl Margaret Sanger created the Negro Project and Planned Parenthood to cull the black population. And finally, in 1864, the Republican-controlled Congress passes the 1964 Civil Rights Act as an extension of the Republicans' 1957 and 60 Civil Rights Act. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for a record 75 days. Now, there's more information, folks. Now, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a constitutionalist, okay? But I'm going to just tell you, when the Democrats do something and they say they're there to help you, they're not. They are full of lies and oppression and suppression. And I believe, this is my opinion, the Democratic Party is an evil party, and it's just a disgrace to America. The Republican Party now isn't much better. And the RINOs, Republicans in name only, they certainly don't have any guts, and they don't stand up for righteousness. In fact, I don't find too many people in government doing that anymore. Why? Because the Christians aren't in government. Real Christians. Not the social justice Christians. Not those who say that the gospel isn't just the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins, and that we need to have people believe in that gospel message. No. The social gospel message is we must, as Christians, as a primary motive, primary goal, is undo poverty and unemployment and pollution and gun control. These things need to be taken care of. And this thing, let me tell you folks, the social gospel is a false gospel. Now, I'm not saying that Christians are not supposed to work for varying things, like getting rid of drug addiction and pollution and unemployment. But the Christians are also supposed to be working to outlaw, let's just put it this way. Yeah, they should outlaw abortion. And to not have the promotion of homosexuality, LGBTQ, all that stuff in our schools and in various places. It's an issue of evil, folks. It's against the nature of God. It's against the proclamation and revelation of God's Word. Now, when I say things like this, a lot of Christians get nervous. You mean stand up for truth? Yeah. And if you don't pick up your cross daily and follow for Christ, you're not worthy of Him. See, that's what Jesus said. And you're supposed to be able to do this kind of a thing. So the social gospel, however, is rooted in what is called the critical race theory. Let's talk about that a little bit. It's CRT. It examines racism in a culture and then seeks to relate all things and explain all things, in everything in society based on race, as it relates to race. So employment, education, being able to have loans, to get houses, social status, things like this. All of it is based on race. Critical race theory presupposes that everybody, well, basically the whites, are racist. And I've seen comments from, you know, from white people in varying videos and things like this. I didn't know I was a racist, but I guess I'm a racist. And because I'm white, I'm a racist. Let me tell you, I'm not a racist. I'm a white guy. I'm not a racist. What I do want to push is equality among all people, because we're all made in the image of God. But CRT causes the thing that it's seeking to get rid of. So I saw a poster from Home Depot in an employment, or in the employees' room in a Home Depot in Canada. Okay, I remember all of that, and I've got it someplace. And it was a thing on the wall, and it said, "Leave your white privilege," or "Unpackage your white privilege," and your privilege of Christianity was written there too. And someone took a phone photo of it and dispersed it. Said, "Look at this. This kind of idiocy. Let me tell you, folks, it's a problem. This is replacing the moral truth of Christ. The moral truth now is critical race theory, that racism is within culture and with all people, except blacks, I guess, and minorities. That's the impression I get. And that white privilege and white fragility needs to be abolished. And it's racist at its core, just like Black Lives Matter is racist. Critical race theory is the view that the law and legal institutions are inherently racist, and that race itself, instead of being biologically grounded and natural, is a socially constructed concept that is used by white people to further their economic and political interests at the expense of people of color. That's from the Britannica.com website. Here's another one. Critical race theory is a movement that challenges the ability of conventional legal strategies to deliver social and economic justice. It specifically calls for legal approaches that take into consideration race as a nexus of American life. In other words, folks, it's all about race. And yet, they want to get rid of racism, yet it's all about race. Hypocrisy abounds. There's the music. Why don't you give me a call? 5 open lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. I know I probably upset a lot of people who don't like what I said. I don't care. Really, I don't care. You don't like it, turn the channel. I really don't care. What I do care about is truth, and I want truth promoted. More and more lately, I find that relativism, emotionalism is the norm. We're not allowed to think. We're not allowed to have critical thought and exchange of ideas. The left will censor you. I don't believe in, nor do I trust, the CNN, MSNBC. I watch Tucker Carlson. I watch Fox. And even then, I'm like, okay, let's check what they have to say. And I'm finding a few things here that they shade things here and there. But not like CNN. Oh, man. And MSNBC. That's right. I'm just saying it. See, this is what I believe. I don't trust the media. I don't trust the news. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. And I don't trust the government. I don't trust the FBI. Now, think about that. Am I just a conspiratist? No. But when you look around and when you see things and you realize that that governmental movements are being weaponized against conservatives, against people who hold up the Constitution, and you start realizing that that CNN, MSNBC, ABC are just spokespeople for the leftist Democratic Party, which is it's an evil party for what it's promoted throughout the years. It's just you know, whatever it says. They twist, they lie. And I'm not saying that everybody on the right is good. But I've, you know, as a researcher, I collect information. I can research. And I'll tell you, I don't trust your government. I'm sorry. Now, it's pretty pessimistic. So why am I saying this? Look, I'm telling you folks, what you need to do is be praying for our country. And I am serious. You need to be praying for our country. That it would be a revival in the upper echelons of our government. That they would start seeing what is good and start suppressing what is evil and getting rid of what is evil. We need a major movement in our government. And if it continues this way, we're going to collapse as a country. They're already talking about moving. There are hints about the idea of different countries want to move off the American dollar as a standard. If that happens, our economy will collapse. See, the left, they just think printing money and taxing everybody is a solution. And then when others complain, then they're vilified, accused of being racist, whatever that means now. Who knows what it means? And I'm just saddened. But you know what the Bible says? The last days, love of many will grow cold, and lies will increase. So folks, this is part of what I believe is coming. And I don't believe it's going to get any better. How's that for pessimistic pessimistic outlook? I do believe, however, that as Christians we can make some huge changes, but we need to be doing it. That's what I teach. That's what I believe. There you go. How about that? Noel from Virginia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask, can a born-again Christian fall into legalism?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does legalism look like?
For born-again Christians? Trying to do things to please God in order to stay saved. That's a very strong form of legalism. That you must do A, B, C in order to be right with God so that He's happy with you. Now, there's certainly this issue, you know, we please God by doing right. But if it becomes the means by which we please God instead of Christ in us, then that's a problem. If anyone says, hey, in order to be right with God, you can't go see R-rated movies like Aliens. You know, you can't do that. You can't listen to this music or that music. That's legalism. In order to be right before God, that's legalism. Things like that, there's many forms of it. And they occur in churches where, you know, you got to wear the right clothing or you're ostracized. That's a form of legalism as well. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard you say earlier something about why you wouldn't recommend the Baptist church any longer.
Right.
Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Yes, they are moving towards social justice heavily. And I found some stuff recently that just shocked me. It is so bad that I actually thought of, you know, finding out more information, get documentation, developing a website, putting the website on a sign, flying out to the SBC convention, stand out in front and hold up a sign. That's how bad.
Oh.
Yeah, social justice, idiocy. And, there's a lot more. I'm going to be getting documentation on it. But I can't recommend the Baptist church now. I can't recommend the Assemblies of God. I can't recommend the Nazarene church. I just can't recommend them because heresies are creeping in little by little. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, like what color carpet kind of heresy. No. Women pastors and elders, you can lose your salvation. You got to keep it by being good. Social justice infiltration into the churches and that replaces the gospel of Christ. Things like that. Bad news. Okay.
Well, thanks. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure, real fast. What do you got?
Okay. So I've been kind of tossing over, kind of want to get your view of the gift of tongues. And I've been on both sides of the spectrum. And I just kind of wanted to get a clear understanding on that.
Yeah, I believe in all of the charismatic gifts, including tongues. Not that they're normative, but they're certainly still possible. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says we're not to lack any charisma. while waiting for the return of Christ. And he's speaking to the church. Paul's speaking to the church there. So I believe that the charismatic gifts are for us today. I don't believe in you know, jumping down the aisles and singing from chandeliers, all speaking in tongues at once. I don't believe in that. I don't believe it's biblical. The biblical methodology is during a church setting, generally speaking, or in Acts 2, an evangelism setting, where this kind of a thing can happen, and then we could discuss what that means, what is tongues. But those are the kinds of things. And people are to interpret, and if they don't, then there's not to occur. See, people are so engrossed in emotionalism and experience that they will sometimes take the Bible and kick it down the aisle as they're doing their somersaults, because they want that experience more than they want the truth of God. And they think that spirituality is based on your experience, and that's not true. We need to have the Word of God as the final and ultimate authority. Go ahead.
I understand that. It's very easy to get into that because I remember being like really, I'm a very, you know, need to feel it, touch it, see it type person, unfortunately.
That's okay.
So
no, it's okay.
It's really
it's okay.
easy to do that.
It is. And we need to do that. And we should feel and touch. It just needs to be governed by God's word. That's all. No problem with that. I'm absolutely for it all.
Okay.
I mean, the scriptures talk about experiencing God and having fellowship with the Lord, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And then we're to experience him.
Okay.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So that should be a regular thing in the Christian life, experiencing him?
Sure. We experience him in fellowship, in conviction, in that intimacy during prayer. Sometimes you just know he's there. Oh, absolutely. Those are wonderful things. Yeah. I was just talking about the excesses in the charismatic movement, the wackiness that comes along with that. That's the bad stuff. No, all the rest of that, sure. As long as it's governed by Scripture, no problem.
Okay.
All right.
So this leads to another question, but I'm going to stop there for today. So thank you.
Good. Okay, because we've got callers waiting. Well, good. God bless. Noel, call back tomorrow, okay?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. God bless. All right. Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Monty from North Carolina. Monty, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, peace be unto you, my brother.
Oh, and you too. God bless. I appreciate that. Thank you.
This is a comment. It's going to take me less than a minute. I took the Great Reset and the 45 communist goals for overtaking America about 58 years ago, those comparisons. And then I went and I compared all of it with Scripture. And everything falls into line. Which is not to say that Jesus is coming back today or tomorrow, although it would be my preference today. But everything is falling into line, and this country is indeed in great peril. I agree with you 100%.
Right, it is.
So everything that you have been saying is indeed in line with Scripture, and in as it relates to prophecy. So it was more or less just a comment versus a question, my brother.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting bad, and it's going to get worse.
Yes.
It is.
All right, God bless you, Matt.
God bless you. All right, there's some depressing kind of stuff to talk about, but it's reality, folks. Hey, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, ready? Welcome back to the show. Let's get to Gary from Utah. Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Good. I know you and I talk a lot. Hey, listen, I was looking at three different verses that I was checking out the other day in some Christian videos. One of them is Ezekiel, let's see, 39:17-20. There's also Revelation chapter 19.
Ezekiel 39:17. What? What's that? 17.
Yes, 39:17-20.
Okay, eat the flesh of and my then, man, you'll eat the fat, glutted, you'll be glutted by table. Or, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then also Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 19, I believe.
Okay, let me hold on. I'm writing this stuff down. Revelation what?
No, just go. 19, 17 through 19.
Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, you know, birds. Assemble the great supper of God, eat the flesh of the kings. Yeah, the same kind of a theme, yeah.
Okay, and then the last one was Psalms 37:20.
Psalm 37:20. Let's check out those. And what about all these?
Well, I'm studying these for myself, too, because this is, you know how you were talking about, and you're right about this CRT thing and how it's actually been pushing a lot of basically black supremacy against anybody who's not black. And also the stuff you were pointing out, the CRT and how it's racist in itself. Well, all the people that oppose God, obviously the haters of the truth, these verses, they talk about how this is the stuff they're going to face if they don't get saved. If they don't get born again, they're going to be facing this doom, this future. This is what God will be doing to them. In those times.
Yeah, but they don't believe it.
That's true. That's true. They think they can just deny it away. But, you know, we got to pray for them because they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
That's true.
So
that's what they want to mention. Our job as Christians is to convert the world, not be comfortable.
That's true.
But to convert the world.
One other thing I was going to mention to you, because one day we ran out of time, was the other one, Amgram Lotz. We didn't get a chance to ask you about that, about how she comes on the Truth Network here. They play her a lot, and she's an actual pastor. Now, I'm not saying she's not born again. She could be, but I think it's like you said in some of your shows before, that she would just be in error, basically.
Yeah, if she's a pastor, then she's wrong. Mm-hmm. She's wrong for being a pastor. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just wondering how many women pastors have you run into when you've gone out on your tours, or like when you
a few
go out
over the years. I've run into a few women pastors, and a few times I've asked them to discuss it with me, and every one of them refuses, with one exception. Everyone refuses, and it's really interesting. I don't think, you know, they don't want to be biblical in that respect, and I think it's a shame for women to be pastors and elders, and it's a shame for men. And I think we also need to have more men like me saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a great example, but we need more men speaking the truth lovingly and saying, no, that's not the right position. You are incorrect. You need to repent. And that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. That's true.
Stand on it.
You came out to Utah last week, and of course, you were in Utah County. That's pretty south for me, but I guess you were out there for a few days. Did you have a good experience with the people you were with?
Well, you know, I was with Bill McKeever, Eric Johnson, Terry Johnson, went to a church, and, you know, they're all great folks. I saw Luke Wayne and Laura Anderson and a guy named Ray, and I can't forget her. Rudy. Great folks hung out with. And Nick.
Preaching the word on the
Nick
street.
Huh? If Nick's listening, Nick, yeah, you're okay. He's all right. You know, put up with him.
Well, definitely come out more, and it's nice when you guys are out preaching on the streets and giving the truth, because people do need to hear the truth. Remember, they exchange the truth for a lie, and that's every truth. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, they can't even define what a woman
come on
is.
Down.
Wow.
If churches wanted me to come down and speak, I'd love to. You know, that's the only hour drive.
Did you see that thing that Ketanji Brown can't even define what a woman is? Wow.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I know. Yep.
Crazy stuff, Matt.
Yeah, we live in a whacked world, and... But I make people uncomfortable by speaking like this, so, you know, they don't want to.
Oh, man. Well, you know, if God decided to come sooner, right away, any moment, I'm okay with that. If he came tomorrow, I'm okay with that.
That's right.
Seriously. Take us up in the rapture, please. Let's see what happens. But thank you, Matt. Appreciate you.
All right, brother. God bless, man.
You too.
All right. Let's get to Tony from Virginia. Tony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
So, quick question. First off, the whole list of things that you laid out as far as the Republican Party, I mean, the Democratic Party, what they had done, is that laid out anywhere in a succinct manner like you gave it, or is that something that's on your website that you can post?
It's not on my website yet, but I think what I'm going to do is, because I talked about it today, I think I'll work it up tonight and or tomorrow and release it, give documentation from other sources where it is. You can see it. And there's also, I recommend a documentary called The Red Pill. And it's about how men are disposable. But in it, a black woman of all, I think, talks about the Democratic Party. This is where I first was exposed to how bad it is. And, you know, and please understand, I'm not a Republican. I don't believe, you know, I don't. But, man, I had no idea how horrible the Democratic Party is until I started studying it. It's bad.
It is. And I'm an African American. My parents came up voting Democrat. I'm a born again believer now, but I voted for Bill Clinton when I was 18 years old because he did two things that I loved: smoked weed and played saxophone. So that's kind of what my thing with it. But when
those are intelligent reasons.
when I was born again, it kind of, you know, I had to kind of change my perspective as far as biblically what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that the Republican Party is all square as they need to be, but as far as the obvious things, we know that the Democratic Party is trying to take us down a different path, and a biblical path for one. So, yeah. So I appreciate that. If you could get that information out there, I would love to have it in a
Okay.
form. But I caution people in general as evangelistic, evangelicals or whatever you may be, stop trying to argue politics, right? Not saying to you, but I'm just saying in general, stop trying to argue politics because you take them away from seeing really who Christ is. I try to preach Christ and let the Holy Spirit change their minds like he did me. So it's difficult to fuss and argue politics. So
it is.
But that being said, not a separate subject, you were talking about CRT, and you mentioned as far as, you know, you promoted love, and because we are all made in God's image.
Yep.
I have a question about that. So from my reading and studying, and this is what I'm calling, when I saw that Adam and Eve were created in God's image and God's likeness, when they sinned and the sin nature came in as being a part of them, and then in chapter 5 it said Adam created children after his own image. So I see that as a change as far as the image of God was that pure, innocent, sinless form as far as Adam and Eve. And then when they sinned, after that, they could no longer produce seed after the kind that God intended for them to produce, which was after their image and after their likeness, because they were in the image and likeness of God. So that's what I'm saying. Now, just, you know, this is a discussion, so...
Well, the image of God deals with the communicable attributes that God loves, we can love. Okay. God hates, we can hate. God thinks, we can think.
Okay.
This image and self-awareness, this character, that's what that means.
Okay.
And then all the colors of people and the heights and the makeup are all derived out of Adam and Eve.
So. Okay, but not outside of color. I'm just talking about, like you said, the actual inherent characteristics of God, right? So I'm not trying to say color at all or height, whatever, you know, any of that. But when I look at it and I see that, you know, God created Adam and Eve sinless. They were in his image. But when they chose to disobey God, they took on a nature of sin. And so God is not sin. So after that, like I said in chapter 5, it says that Adam brought forth fruit after his own kind. So that's just kind of where, you know, I believe,
I don't want to get into all that because I think you're mixing some things up there. It's worth a discussion. We've got people waiting. And that's okay. But I'm just saying, it's there's a lot there. Okay.
Okay, and that's what I was trying to. If you don't have time to talk about it, then I just was trying to get some clarity as far as your perspective about it. That's what I was just saying. So
call back tomorrow. See if we can get more time to it, because I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at. I think it would take a long time to unpack it. And let's talk about that tomorrow then. Okay.
That'd be good,
all right, buddy. All right, man. God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
All right. All right, good. Let's get to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I kind of wanted to bounce off of what Noelle was asking earlier when she asked about legalism. Is it legalistic to say that in order to be saved, we must obey God's will?
Yeah, in one sense, yes. In another sense, no. We obey God's will to come to Christ. That's how you get saved. But, you know, it's obey God's will. He doesn't want anybody to sin. Well, we can't do that. We don't stop sinning in order to become Christian. So it's just different senses of how that is understood. Okay?
Right. So if someone were to say that in order to be saved, we must essentially stop sinning or stop desiring to sin, is that legalism?
No. Well, we should stop sinning, and we should... stop desiring to sin. Those are all true.
Or, I would say must stop sinning.
For what reason?
In order to be in a saving relationship with Christ and God.
That's heresy. Yeah, that's a false gospel. You must stop sinning in order to be in a saving relationship with God? No. That's impossible. No one would ever be saved. Period. Ever.
Okay, the Bible teaches us to stop sinning, though.
Yes.
That we must stop sinning.
Can you stop sinning?
I believe it's theoretically possible for someone to stop sinning.
So then, if it's theoretically possible for someone to stop sinning, that means it's theoretically possible for someone to keep the law on the same level as Jesus did, right?
Correct.
Okay, so do you think you can keep the law on the same level as Jesus himself?
Theoretically, someone might be able to do that.
No.
I'm not saying
you,
it's easy.
You. Do you believe you can keep the law on the same level as Jesus, which means purity in heart? Do you think you can do that?
I believe I can keep it at a sufficient level to be saved, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. You need to pat yourself on the back because your arrogance and your pride are just so thick that you cannot possibly be considered a Christian. You died.
Well, it's not about, like I said, that's why I said it's not just about
me. Listen to me. I'm telling you, you have a false gospel. You cannot keep the law. You cannot keep it in the level of Jesus. You cannot keep your salvation by your goodness. That's a false gospel. We're saved
by grace.
Well,
then why does the Bible...
We've talked before.
Why does the Bible teach us to stop sinning, then, if we can't do it?
Show me a verse. Show me a verse where it says, stop sinning.
Be perfect, therefore, as your Father is perfect in heaven.
Yeah, Matthew 5:48, you rip it out of context. It starts in verse 43, which talks about the rain shining on the good and the bad, and that you're to love everyone equally. Therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So that didn't work. Got another one?
Well, there are some who say that
Do you have another one?
The word faith, as used in the Bible many times, actually entails a sense of obedience, not just intellectual assent.
Yeah, I talk about that all the time. I ask you for verses, and you ripped one out of context. Let me just tell you, I would love to speak more to you. I'd love it if you call back tomorrow, because I want to just politely rebuke you yet again for your false gospel. I need to point you to the true gospel. You don't have time right now. Call back tomorrow, and we'll talk about the true gospel, so you can hopefully be saved. Okay, brother?
All right.
Call back tomorrow. Bye. And Paul, I'm very interested in your topic, COVID vaccines and quantum tattoo. I've got to know what that is. Call back tomorrow. May the Lord bless you all. By His grace, we're back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.